I would like to welcome everyone to another day of Capstone Integration Project presentations. We will have two this morning. The first will be from Lindsay Davis, seated here in the front row. Lindsay has a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy and Religion with a theater minor from Bridgewater College in Bridgewater, Virginia. She currently serves as a graduate assistant for admissions here at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. In the past, has served as a pastoral intern at Community Mennonite Church here in Harrisonburg, and also served as sister-to-sister coordinator at RISE, a United Methodist faith community, also here in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And maybe just one other thing on her resume. She performed in EMU's theater department production of Twelfth Night, and that serves as a kind of bridge to her title for her presentation, Playing with Parables, Using Theater to Embody the Parables of Jesus with Theater and Seminary Students. Welcome, Lindsay Davis.
I'm just going to have to hold this, aren't I? Good morning. Thank you all for coming today. As Lonnie introduced me, I am Lindsay Mustafa Davis, and this is my capstone integration project called Playing with Parables, Using Theater to Embody the Parables of Jesus with EMU Theater and EMS Students. I'll just go over a brief description of what this project is and why I even decided to do it in the first place. I hear a lot of people talking about a group called nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, not the Catholic variety, and millennials, and how the church does and doesn't engage with them. And this is particularly important to me because I identify as a millennial, and I identify as a nun, and I'm attending seminary and other local congregations. And in my time here, I realized I wanted to create creative space for people to engage their faith while still struggling with questions and doubts and while still struggling with the church. And I wanted it to be a place where people that came in felt safe to express their questions and didn't feel ostracized because of sharing them. I chose the parables because growing up, I was taught to read them as stories about who was in the church and who was not in the church. And obviously, we were supposed to read ourselves as the ones that were in the parables. But I wanted to redeem that. I see the parables as stories Jesus told to confuse, confound, and enlighten people, and to really wrestle with all these characters and stories and say, well, who am I really where I am right now in this parable? The people I worked with specifically were EMU Theater and Eastern Mennonite Seminary students, and I wanted to, what the process involved was an interview process where I interviewed them about their religious upbringings, and then we would go over a parable together, and then we had four what I call interpretation events in which we met and interpreted the parables as a group. These are some brief statistics about the nuns' population. You don't have to read through all of them. I'm just going to sum it up, basically. What you need to know is the stats are saying that a majority of people who identify as nuns are not saying that they are uninterested in faith. Their faith is very important to them. What they are saying is church is not a safe place for them to engage that faith anymore. And that's something that we need to hear. As Josh Packard and Ashley Hope said in their Church Refugees book, people are fleeing for their own spiritual safety. They want to be engaged spiritually, but they do not feel safe doing that in church. I was asked why I even decided to do theater. It's fun because obviously these people are having fun. I love being in theater because it's storytelling at its finest. It's a way for a cast and crew to make a story come to life and present it to an audience, to show an audience a perspective they may not have seen before, and for the actors to embody that and as a result be transformed themselves. I believe in the importance of storytelling, especially for millennials. We are a group that loves stories. We love comics, books, TV shows, movies, video games, anything with a compelling narrative and relatable characters. And I thought theater really captured that, and I wanted to use that to work with this group. This is also an overview of the demographics with which I worked. That way we can look at who I did and did not work with. There were 11 participants total, 7 females and 4 males. The theater students were all undergrad students, and so they were from the 18 to 25 year age range. The seminary students, too, fell in the 26 to 30 age range, and the rest were 30 and up. All but one participant are white, and I was also working with two LGBTQ students. The first part of the interview process was talking about religious upbringing, and I started with the EMU theater students. These are some of the responses that they shared concerning their upbringing. For the most part, they were taught to have literal interpretations of the Bible. They found in church that there was very little room for questions and disagreement, and there was also the sense of confusion as to why they were going to church in the first place. For many, it seemed like they were going to become good people that God would like. And there were a lot of, everyone that I talked to in this group has, for the most part, left their community of faith of their upbringing. Some will attend church with their families when they go home for breaks and holidays. One person is active in congregations in the community. But for the most part, the rest of them are either completely unengaged with the faith community or are liminally engaged. They do seek community and faith engagement elsewhere. It's not often in the church. Oftentimes it is in the theater department doing plays together. And also, for the most part, most of the people said that they were not entirely antagonistic towards their upbringing. A lot of people said it gave them some solid structure to make them who they are today and to help them even engage with God in the first place. But there were still stories, like the last person shared, where going through a major crisis of identity, that theology felt like it was killing him. So there are two sides. There are both. There's pain, and there's also a sense that this formed people well. But they can all agree that where they are in their lives now, the models with which they grew up are no longer healthy for them. Next, I've shared from the seminary students' upbringing. Most of these students also grew up in Christian homes with a variety of denominational backgrounds. There was a good mix of conservative and liberal upbringings, but for the most part, they were still taught literal interpretations of the Bible. They also went through shifts. The two younger students I worked with have been able to work through their struggles in church community so far. However, the older ones did share that there has been a sense of leaving their home congregation, leaving their old upbringing to wrestle with something new and then find their way back to a new type of community. And now to get into the parables themselves, we worked through three different parables. The interview process, I would sit down with each participant one-on-one. They would choose a parable. They would read through it and share what the message of the parable was from the perspective of their upbringing, and then they would share what they believe the message of it is now. So this slide is sharing how they interpreted these parables growing up. The first parable, the father and his two sons, these are all covered in Luke. Three participants chose this, two of whom are theater students. And the consensus was this was all about this one kid who ran away from home, realized the error of his ways, and went back. And the message was, it's okay to stray every now and then, but when you get back, you better stay on that straight and narrow path. And someone summed it up well as, this is a story about sin. The second parable was the parable of the great dinner. Four people chose this one, three of whom were seminary students. And the consensus for this was a story about how the people who said no to God's invitation obviously didn't have their priorities right, and they are not right with God. And they said no to the wrong thing. They should have said yes to God, but they didn't. And the final and probably most controversial parable was the parable of the sower. Only two people chose this. They were both theater students. I was grateful in the interview process that someone finally shared the obvious. This is scary. And we talked about what the purpose of it was, and it was a sense that, you have to be in the good soil, and then when you're in the good soil, you can kind of look down on everyone else that's fallen on that really bad stuff. Overall, though, people were pretty confused by what this parable meant, and there was some disturbance overall about what it entailed. Everyone that read a parable shared some shift in interpretation, seminary and theater student alike. So the parable of the father and his sons, it went from being a story about how the son had to realize the error of his ways and redeem himself, and then it shifted to more of an emphasis on the love of the father. The parable of the great dinner, it went from a shift of, oh, who are the people around me who have said no to God, to, when have I said no to God? And concerning the sower, there was a shift from, well, I'm obviously on the good soil, to, I don't really know what soil I'm in anymore, and I don't know what to make of that right now. After we did our interviews, we went to the first interpretation event. The first one was with EMU theater students only. The purpose of this event was to find a method or two, a theatrical method or two, with which to engage the scriptures. And we decided on a method called Red Square, in which I acted as the narrator, would read the parable out loud, and the actors would move in the space and embody parts of the story as they saw fit. It would usually start as individuals kind of floating around the space doing their own thing, but inevitably, by the end, they were all working together to embody the story. It was pantomime, no spoken word, all with their bodies and their body language. And the parable we used for this one was with the father and the two sons. Here are a few reflections. For the most part, it was responded well, a lot of positivity. People felt very glad to be in the space. One person did say he was still very resistant to engaging with scripture based on his upbringing, but that doing the theater method helped a little bit. So it was a fun, creative space where people could actually engage with the scripture for the first time, some people said in months or even years. The second event was only EMS students, and I did this one a bit differently from all the other ones. Since I wasn't sure how many of them had any experience with theater, I didn't start them with theater. We used some coloring utensils and Play-Doh to engage with the scripture. We did the parable of the great dinner, and I would read it, and as they were reading it, they would engage with their arts and crafts, and we did that for about 45 minutes and then reflected. And then we did a couple of theater warm-up exercises to get them in the mindset of what it's like to do theater. These are some very interesting reflections because a couple of people shared that even doing the coloring activities that we have done numerous times in chapel and otherwise was still uncomfortable to them. They say, I'm still not talking, I'm not using the right theology, and I still feel like this is a weird way to engage scripture. And this is something we've done numerous times. They also shared how when we were doing the theater games, it felt fun and silly and childlike, their sense of letting go of getting out of our own heads. So there was this individual stretching of play with the theater and also the sense that they had to come together to make the games work in the first place. At the third interpretation event, we combined both groups together. I had a nice mix. We had three theater and three seminary students at this one. And the purpose of this was to bring both groups together to start working on interpretations together and to get them intermingling and talking to each other. It was uncomfortable at first. People expressed that it was kind of weird having to intentionally work with these other people they had never met before. But overall, it worked well. They were able to share with each other and work very well together. And with this one, we did the Red Square method with the parable of the sower. And these are some of the responses we got. So overall, there's some confusion, you know, how do I do this? What are we doing? What does this all mean to begin with? And yeah, and there was this noticing that working with others, you have to be very conscious and very intentional to include people, especially when you're doing a method you've never done before, but the other group has done it many times. But it worked very well. There was this great scene where I was reading the part where the seed was growing and the thorns were threatening to choke it out. And one woman, one actor, was growing up as the seed, and the other actors came around her as the thorns to choke her out. This beautiful paused moment where everyone came together and demonstrated this really great time of interpretation. The fourth and final event was our smallest one. I incorporated a beginning and ending ritual, and because it was such a small group, we got to do all of the parables. And here are some pictures from that. And we had a lot of reflections on all of this. Basically, everyone shared one thing from each parable that was pretty profound to them that they either hadn't noticed before or had been dying to ask for a while. There was some really holy space happening here, and it was really great to witness. I'm asked to reflect on what happened in this space, and it's kind of difficult to do that because a lot did happen, and it's hard to figure out which parts to highlight. What happened was I invited two very different groups to share a space together and try a method that we hadn't tried before, and they accepted that invitation, and they came together, they formed a community, and long and short of it, we had a new way of being church. Both groups were challenged immensely in this project. The theater students had to work at engaging scripture for the first time in a long time for many of them, and seminary students had to try something completely different in this model of interpretation. But what I appreciated was that through it all, the participants felt safe to bring their whole creative selves to this process, and they felt able to share their very vulnerable, honest questions, which was something I appreciated. So what are the implications of this for the church? We need to start listening. We hear that a lot, but it's true. We talk a lot about nuns. We look at surveys. We try to figure out why they're not coming. But we don't often let them lead the discussion. And we need to start doing that, because instead of saying, why don't you want, like, why isn't this good enough for you, we need to ask, where has the church failed you as a space to engage your spirituality? We need better understanding of the nuns' population. Nuns are not coming because they can't have everything their way because they're Burger King Christians. That's simply not the truth for a majority of them. Many people are coming because the ways that they have been taught to interpret and engage with God either don't do anything for them at best, or are hurting them at worst. We need to make more room for creative space. Storytelling is the name of the game for millennials, as I shared earlier. And I understand that making creative spaces for storytelling through the arts can be risky, because God knows we might not get the theology right, or we might not say the right things. However, if we're a church that trusts in the Holy Spirit's guidance, we need to trust that the Spirit will guide us through that. And finally, we need to confront fear and doubt. Nuns are not the only ones sitting in your church pews struggling with really big, earth-shattering questions. Everyone is, whether they admit it or not. And if we can let nuns share their fears and doubts, maybe we'll learn to confront our own a lot better. I want to thank my participants that helped me with this project. Literally could not have done it without you. I want to thank my mentors, Heidi and Emily, for their guidance and for helping me to form the shape of this project. I want to thank Gretchen Mouse, the theater department secretary. She has been great in reserving spaces for us, even if it was very last minute. I want to thank Nate for his encouragement in this project, to the Institutional Review Board for giving us the thumbs up and a green light. And of course, to my family and community for their generous love and support through it all.